15 to 20 million jobs.
What about me?
I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio.
Well, good morning, and welcome to our broadcast on this Wednesday, November the 11th. And as always, I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone and invite family members and friends to tune in. We certainly are going to have issues to discuss today. And of course, we want to clarify some very important things in the process of what we're going to be doing during this very special broadcast. First of all, compliment the people that help make our broadcast great. And they include Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihosh. And of course, Curtis Ellis is another one of the people that is part of the America First Project, always out doing his thing. Well, as we get together on this Wednesday, November the 11th, Veterans Day in the United States, we pause to honor all the military veterans that served in the United States Armed Forces, and my personal salute to all of America's veterans as they helped really add to the greatness of America. I hope that you'll be looking out for some of the events that will be taking place in communities during this afternoon. I hear that a few of them are announced here in the Philadelphia area. Do go out, support your veterans, and make sure that we keep the greatness of America together. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, our focus mainly is on American workers, what we can do to get our jobs back. And the election was really a brutal, brutal situation. The whole election season, many people tell me in my travels, they're overjoyed that the election is over, the telephone calls, the ads on the radio, and all of that. I'm asking all of you to help us focus our eyes and efforts on promoting American made in every way possible. As we discussed on my broadcast, especially during our Saturday broadcast, America's consumers are the major force of keeping our fellow Americans employed. And of course, American businesses growing are a very important part of the process too. The only way we make that happen is if we go out of our way to purchase what's being made in the USA with the hopes of bringing more and more stuff back. Now, I know that's been very difficult, and people tell me all the time, Michael, you don't understand how difficult it is for me to go and get a pair of jeans or go here and get a shirt that's really made in the USA. It's just something that we have not been able to accomplish. I say, well, stay focused. More and more is going to return. After 35 years of watching our businesses move overseas, it's not going to be returning that quickly. So let's keep our eye on the ball. That's what it's all about. As far as the final count of votes from states, all we want is every vote to be counted and documented properly. I mean, we're just individual voters ourselves. So that when the Electoral College meets in December, the official winner will be announced appropriately. And I feel that we have to allow the voters to be respected, all the votes to be counted, let the process take its place, and we should be in, you know, whoever wins, God bless them, and we will work to do what we can. My suggestion to end all this about 4 years ago, when they had a similar, you know, nonsense here and there and people were going to bark, and 8 years ago, I suggested that there should be a national election czar. Now, some people said, oh, what's a czar? That sounds like a foreign. No, it could be anything, a point of contact, a secretary of election, someone who is working and appointed by both parties to observe and also work on the election every day of their service in office. An election czar could be a national contact for all election issues, not just a presidential issue, but to keep things moving in the same way. Right now, you could say, well, this, we're going to do it this way in this county and this state. And I think really doing this on a national level would allow this to run much smoother. And I even have some suggestions for an election czar. And if that person would even be considered, that would be nice. I know he would do a good job. Right now, we just depend on the Democrat and Republican chair people to do what they can to keep things moving in the individual states. But they really report to no one on a national level that they're working together to move the election forward. Even some of the advertisements and all that are not factual. That elections czar could be keeping an eye on that and making sure that things are factual. It's just ridiculous. But the most important thing that I want to mention today is, for the record, our campaign, that's American Workers Need You, has always been focused on restoring jobs in America, helping businesses grow and industries be part of the supply chain of goods that are offered to the people here in the United States. As I said, for 35 years, most Americans didn't know what was going on. They didn't care what was going on. As long as they had the product they needed at the time, they were satisfied. Now that people are starting to look at labels, now that people are starting to talk more about how are we going to keep our children and our grandchildren employed in the future, things are starting to change. But change. Our broadcast always urged people to support products, and we're not part of any type of political movement. We don't promote one party over the other. Americans go through the presidential election every 4 years, so we know this system, and we have to let it take its course. This is not the first time many of us witnessed this. This has been done in the past, and it will be resolved appropriately, and we're going to look for the people at the top to do their jobs. The politicians, the people we elect and also pay to do a job, should be promoting American made along with us, not that we should be going over there to kiss up to them to get their favor. We often say that what a candidate says during his campaign, no one really keeps track of. Well, I think that's something we have to do, because most of the candidates that were running said they're going to promote America and this and that. So let's see what can be done. And I also want to say one other thing, because it's the fact. It's without question that in the last few years, President Trump, with the Made in America, Make America Great Again movement, certainly added a lot of spotlight to our efforts. However, our campaign, our radio broadcasts, and everything that we do focuses on American workers, and we've been doing it a long, long time. It's 20 years now. It just didn't happen in the last few years. We've outlived many of our campaigns. Just the fact that we are talking about things like American Workers Need You, also the other campaigns that we have, National Small Business Weekend, American Made Month, all of these things have added to the greatness of what we're trying to do. And we do more for all people. We respect all ages, races, creeds. What we need to be is united and not divided. And last but not least, I really feel that names like Mark Andel, Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Curtis Ellis, Mike Sessions, Henry Chaplinsky, and myself have been united to keep America and the American-made message strong. And we don't get any political dollars, so we don't have to be worried about any candidate being this way or that way. So with that, I would like to, first of all, turn today to a man who knows the election process extremely well, someone who's worked in the polls and, you know, doing all kinds of things to help candidates. Let's ask him for his opinion and what your advice is, and that is none other than the very well-known and very famous Larkin Conley.
Oh, goodness gracious. Where's my mother with her headset? I would love for her to have heard that. Thank you, Michael. That was quite an ominous introduction. Allow me to just, you know, I've gone back to this so many times. I'm so sick of telling the story of the Minnesota lottery that included six other states for $105 million. The lottery closed at 11 o'clock at night, and Powerball in an hour and 5 minutes could tell you that, A, you had one winner, or two winners, or five winners, where they were from, where they bought the ticket, how much money they won, and we can't, and Pennsylvania's up there like a bunch of boobs, still counting ballots. And I hate to say this because Pittsburgh is my home in Pennsylvania. The Keystone State is a place that holds a very special place in my heart. But they really played around with this election. And it's really, really too bad. I'll make two comments. First of all, this country gave Al Gore 37 days from the election to resolve all the questions he had about an election that was declared the opposition won. 37 days? Excuse me? These guys, and you know exactly what they did. They jumped to a conclusion. Fox News, which has lost so much of my respect in the last week, you know, couldn't wait to announce that, and the other networks sat around and waited to Fox News, because why? They wanted Fox to be the network that supported Trump for all these years to stand up and say he lost. And it's just messy. And it's messy because we want it to be messy. Try to tell me we can't fix a national election in the United States of America. They have an easier job counting votes in Afghanistan. And I know it's a numbers game. We have that many more ballots to count. But organize yourself. First of all, the only way you're going to correct this is to declare every national election day a holiday, close the country down, and tell everybody you have 24 or 12, 18 hours to cast your ballot. It should be a holiday. Nobody should have to go to work. The number one thing on everybody's mind should be electing a government to rule our country on that day. And they don't want to do that because both the Democrats and Republicans love that element of confusion, and they keep on coming up with a different approach in the confusion category. This year it was get the vote out. Well, Pennsylvania, really? You're accepting ballots. As a matter of fact, it's been reported, and we will find out, that they accepted ballots even after the election day to be counted. Shame on Pennsylvania. And of course, you've got this governor that lost his razor years ago that one would have thought would have been an excellent governor because he is a small business owner. But, you know, I don't know what else to say beyond that, Michael.
Larkin,
we need to, election day should be a holiday, period, amen.
Yes, you know, Larkin, I really feel, I mean, 8 years ago when we had the arguments about the presidential election and 12 years ago, and even during the Al Gore and Bush situation, I really think we need a national contact, a czar, you know, an organizer, a secretary, not appointed by any particular party, but by all parties. Because right now, if I said to you, who is really national election contact? We don't have any. We just don't have any. It's every state does it on their own. Now, if it's a local election, that's fine. But when it's a federal election, there should be more contact where people know what is what.
And, you know, I have so many friends telling me, I'm against anything, Michael, that takes the right away from the state and gives it to the federal government. I think that the United States of America federal government is so inept, it's almost frightening how inept they can be. And the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, on all levels, local, state, and federal, on all levels, these parties want them to be inept because it gives them a chance to play. It gives them a chance to allow the deep state to do what it does so well, and that is play with the results. And it's really, really, really too bad. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to also make a comment, not to throw you into a different direction. If it ends up this way, and I do think that Trump deserves his day, but if it does end up this way, and I suspect it will because there's an awful lot of ground to make up at this point, Joe Biden is my president. Period, amen. He is the president of the United States. He is my president, and he is the leader of this country and the free world, and so to speak. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me very carefully. Michael Bleihush, your job, the job of Made in America, has never, ever, ever been bigger and more important.
You are so right. And do you want to know, Larkin, how many people have said that to me? You know, just the titles of what we on this broadcast and what I've been doing since 1999 mean more and have done more to keep people united. Like American Workers Radio, American Workers Need You, American Made Month, all of these types of things to promote Americans supporting Americans. Our efforts represent more than the national leaders combined, because we're regular people trying to promote America. Here these people are in Washington, supposed to be doing a job we're paying them through our taxes. And what have they done? They've agreed to all kinds of weirdo deals, all kinds of trade organizations, things, and it's Democrats and Republicans alike. It's not just one party. Yep. It's both of them.
Yep.
They all agree. Yep. You cannot put it on one person. And so that's what, you know, whether
inept,
it's...
They're inept, Michael, by design.
That's right.
They are inept. It's the definition of that ineptness, and this is going to drive the left crazy because they all claim there is no such thing. The ineptness is, by design, is called the deep state. And we have the deep state locally, and we have the deep state statewide, and we have the deep state federally. We almost function by the deep state. And it is, in fact, that deep state that is not going to allow you to get an open, shut case for elections. They like to play around. They like to come up with new ideas on how to win that don't have anything to do with the people that cast the votes.
Right.
And here's where you need to step up to the plate, and here's where we need to step up to the plate. Joe Biden is going to govern, I'm pretty sure, from the middle. Joe Biden's a moderate. He has the left really mad at him. They're yelling at him. They're sending him nasty notes. And he's fighting them off. But then he's going to turn around, like, I'm not exactly sure where his head is when he does stuff like this, but it is rumored that he's going to appoint Elizabeth Warren in charge of Treasury. I'm going to tell you something. If I gave Elizabeth Warren the first seven letters in the word business, she wouldn't be able to spell it. She has no idea what a business is. She wouldn't know a business if it came up and bit her on her calf. I mean, seriously. And this woman, her number one mission in life, her number one mission in life as a far lefty is to break up Amazon. And don't get me started about that, because that's probably a next week discussion about how Amazon has helped small businesses in this country.
You know, Larkin, you're very well with it today. I want to tell you, I think that we're going to have to discuss some of the people that are going to be appointed to these jobs. And what are they really going to offer? Just another point of view of bull or whatever? Let's say maybe they're the best for the job. Maybe they're not good. Let's talk about it. I think it's a good idea. You know, two politicians, in fact, called me this morning because we were working on a particular issue. And the one said to me, well, I think you did the right thing over the years by not putting your foot in one side of the aisle as opposed to the other. I said, no, I'm talking to we, the American consumers. We're trying to restore the greatness of America's industries. We're begging people to look at tags and, you know, ask for things at stores. We're asking to restore a 50-50 balance. Has anyone listening today or any of our panel members, can point to one person that's been doing what we have been doing? The answer is, I'd like to know what that answer is. I don't know of anybody. It's all talkers, all babblers, all bull. Where is the action? You're right, Larkin. Our focus can be built in a very positive way as of this election. Because people, remember, both of them got almost an equal balance of people, 70 plus million each candidate. Those candidates now have to sit back and say, well, I had 70 million people agree with me. And then the person who wins the presidency is going to have to say, I have to represent all the people, the whole 150 million that voted, and all those that are young people, old people, and in between, here illegally or whatever. I have to represent America to be the best that it can be. I would hope, this is only my statement, I would hope that whoever is the president will continue policies like America first. America first. We lost that in the last 35 years by too many of the same people sitting in Washington trying to make a bloodbath amongst themselves, fighting amongst themselves, instead of fighting for the people. With that, I'd like to turn to Rich Loges. Rich, how are you doing? Tell us everything.
Good morning, Michael, and to our listeners. And Larkin, that was a hell of an opening. As always, I expect nothing less from Larkin. And a couple of comments, Michael. And my first comment is going to come as no surprise what I'm about to say, because I figure if I just keep, you know, Larkin, I figure if I just keep repeating myself over and over and over again, everyone will just start to eventually listen to me like a crazy man over and over and over again.
I was just going to suggest that maybe you try clicking your heels.
No, it seems that in reading our mostly worthless press, especially the pre-internet age press that existed before the internet age, the contract that governs the election is the United States Constitution. Now, there are a couple of different routes, Michael, that are going to wind up at a place where there's going to be a president, but it's possible that president may not be the president in January. So what do I mean by that? What I'm saying is that we're all going to get a little bit, Michael, of a civics lesson in how the contract known as the United States Constitution governs the presidential election. So it might be a very anticlimactic ending, where Joe Biden will have enough certified votes in enough states to have reached 270, and the electors will meet, and he'll be the president. So that's one possibility. There's another possibility that could be we might party like it's 1876. And for those who don't know that reference, I would encourage them to go to that wonderful invention called the Internet and look up what happened in our 1876 presidential election. But the contract, Michael, also has something called the 14th Amendment, which is the Equal Protection Clause. And under the Equal Protection Clause, that's what enabled Al Gore to explore every legal option, as was his right, in 2000. Now, there is a little bit of a distinct difference here, Michael. In the year 2000, Al Gore, who was well within his rights to litigate, went on a fishing expedition. He was seeking votes. He was looking to find votes. And I'm not going to get into the details of the case, but at the very, very end, it was not 5-4 that George Bush's equal protection rights were violated. It was actually 7-2. So it actually wasn't 5-4. It was actually 7-2 that Al Gore's litigation was infringing upon George Bush's equal protection rights. So Gore was looking for votes. This time around, the president is not seeking votes. He's seeking a strategy through the courts, which again is his legal right, to determine if any votes should be discarded under the terms of the Elections Clause of the Constitution, as well as some other parts of the contract. That's what I just told you, Michael, is what's actually happening. Whatever the editorial board of the New York Times says is just a worthless opinion, Larkin. It's just a worthless opinion. That's all it is. Whatever social media states is a worthless opinion. Because all that matters in this very adult matter, an election, Michael, is what the contract that governs it states. And one other point I want to make, and this is, Larkin, something that, you know, because me and Larkin talk a lot about civics because we're going to work on an endeavor here in the state of Florida that's going to save the state of Florida and prevent it from becoming New York, California, Arizona, and Georgia. No offense, Mark. But we're going to work on a process here to, and Curtis, no offense to Curtis. Although you guys in PA, I might need to start thinking about adding PA into that list, Michael. But for now, I'll leave you guys out. You avoid my slings and arrows for the moment. So we're working on that here. Now, one point I will make, which let me put my journalist hat on for a moment. Back in September, Larkin, Nancy Pelosi had sent a letter to her to her colleagues in Congress, in the House, her Democrat colleagues. That was in September. And what she wrote in September was how important it was for the Democrats to, at the very least, retain, but really ideally win more seats in the House of Representatives in the event that the presidential election reached Congress. Now, that was in September. If anyone paid attention to the Democrat media industrial complex back in September, they were telling us, Larkin, that Biden was going to win by 55 states. Now, to my knowledge, and Larkin might correct me on this, to my knowledge, worrying about the presidential outcome being decided in Congress isn't usually pretty high on the list of campaign priorities, Larkin. Usually. Right? I mean, it's just, right? It's just, you know, how do you get votes in Wisconsin? How do you, you know, how do you communicate? How do you message? You know, let's fundraise. And, hey, let's make sure it doesn't go to a state delegate vote in the House of Representatives. Like, right? Campaigns don't think that. So my question that I'm just asking for everyone out there is, why was Nancy Pelosi talking about an election for the presidency reaching Congress back in September? I mean, that's like the Kansas City Chiefs who won the Super Bowl saying, you know, guys, I know we're playing the 6-year-old Pop Warner team, but I'm a little worried we might lose to them. So what was really going on, Larkin, that would prompt Nancy Pelosi to ask that, to send that letter out, forewarning of a possibility that there could be an election decided in the House, which that's a different process, Michael, how that works. That's outlined by the 12th Amendment, which if I went around and asked every Philadelphian to give me just the basics of what the 12th Amendment is. I'm not talking about the text. I'd be surprised, Larkin, if five people in Philadelphia could tell me.
You're right.
I'd be utterly shocked if I got five to say, well, isn't that where the electors meet and they just, yeah, like that's the basics. I'd say, yeah, yeah, you got it. You're right. If I went and asked five, they'd say, oh, is that the freedom of the press? So we're all going to get a lesson, Michael. And we're going to wait in this, and the legal process, the constitutional process, is going to one way or the other work itself out. And if the judiciary has to intervene, then that means, Larkin, the constitutional process was still adhered to. Sorry for the long rant, constitutional civics lesson for the day over.
Well, I want to say, Rich, we're going to learn a lot during this election. And the major thing that happened and caused the majority of this is the pandemic. And the politicians did never focus.
Wait a minute, Michael. I've got to interject. Wait. I have to interject on that point.
Okay.
I got to interject on that point. And Larkin's going to back me up on this one. The state of Florida handled our election flawlessly, Larkin, in Florida.
Flawlessly.
Flawlessly. Here, Michael, in the state of Florida.
The
and you know why, man, Michael?
Let me know why. Tell me why that happened.
No, I'm going to tell you why. And actually, we knew at 9, I worked on the campaign here as a volunteer in Florida, okay? We knew at 9 p.m. Eastern that we had won the state. We knew at 9 p.m. Eastern that we'd won the state. There were still votes to count. All valid votes in the state of Florida were going to be counted, but the gap, the margin between Trump and Biden was so large that it was larger than the outstanding votes that we had. So we knew at 9 p.m. Eastern, the state of Florida was going to go for the president. Now, how can we handle it flawlessly, Michael? Well, there's been some reforms over the years. I've been in Florida for 8 years, but our governor, Ron DeSantis, when he won in 2018, he took office in 2019, and he came into South Florida. And he cleaned house down here, which if you notice in this, everyone says, oh, Florida's elections are always crazy, Larkin. Wrong. Democrat counties in Florida are always crazy. So Ron DeSantis came in, cleaned house, kicked ass, and lo and behold, flawless election, Michael. Flawless.
Well, when I mentioned pandemic.
We had massive vote by mail. My wife voted by mail.
And did you have a pre-election date that you had to have your ballot in by?
7 p.m. on election day.
Okay. Well, part of the biggest problem in many states, not only in Pennsylvania, is that they continue to welcome ballots the day after the election and 3 days after the election. That's why I'm saying a national election czar would end a lot of that stuff because there's too many people.
Well, we got to get to Mark, but what you're saying, there's a provision for that in the elections clause. Congress can regulate the elections clause in the Constitution states that the time, manner, and place of electing representatives and senators can be regulated by Congress.
So why didn't they? Why didn't they do it?
Well, that's a question for every Congress since 1787.
Well,
generally, we have left it to the states. The overriding principle in our country's history has been to leave it to the states. And let me tell you something, Michael. If the feds tried to regulate me and Larkin here in Florida, we'd probably fight them. Even if Trump is the president, we'd probably fight them and say, we don't need federal intervention in our state. We're working flawlessly here.
Well, I don't think it's federal intervention. I just think it's a contact. In other
words, it'd be regulation. It'd be a regulatory move by the Congress.
Now, the thing is, as I said, for the last month or so, I don't understand how they had the money or the time to harass people. I told you on Passport Broadcast, I felt I was harassed because I didn't apply for a mail-in ballot. I told the person that called me, a real live person in addition to the 1,000 and one robocalls. I told them, no, I'm going to be at the polls. And they said, can we send you a ballot? I said, no, I don't want it, because it'll be on the record that I requested a ballot. And then they may be wondering if the ballot's in the mail or something. I do not want to participate in this. So then that was fine. That was over. It was over until 4 days later, I get another request to get a ballot. That's what I'm saying. It should be somebody that says, mail out absentee ballots must be returned by such date in order for them to be considered, period. And on election night, we announce a winner, period. That's the main thing.
I think that's Larkin's point, though, Michael. But I think that's Larkin's point, that that Florida is willfully what's the opposite of inept? Ept? Is that the word? Is that a word? Ept. We're willfully ept.
Yes.
Okay, we're willfully ept. PA decided, and other states decided, to be willfully inept,
you know,
in running this election.
Rich, now that the election is over, all of these talking heads on all these cable channels and all, what are they going to talk about? For 4 years, they had a field day talking about Trump and this and that. You know, what are they going to do now? Are they going to start the same thing on Biden?
No.
Or
yep,
who?
No. Every night they're going to have sex with Biden without showing pictures. I can almost promise you that he's going to get, he will get a Obama type free ride ticket. We know that. And I'm not mad at them, and I'm not saying we're better, that the Republicans are better than because of it. I would love to get a Republican president in there. It was Reagan a little bit, although you know as well as anybody else, they gave Reagan nothing but problems, constantly after him and, you know, asking him stupid questions. He was just graceful enough that he rolled off his back like water off a duck's back. He just never paid attention. And I know we've got to get Mark in here, but and Mark will know this, but we have to protect our small businesses. I will give Biden a huge hug because he has this $500 billion initiative Buy American, and buy it through the government. And I wish I could say it out loud. I wish I could say it with, but, you know, what's his name? Trump never did that. So far, he's one up on me, and I'm delighted with him. But we've got to hold his feet to the fire. You know, everybody keeps on saying small business this and small business that, and nobody ever says to me, or people occasionally will say to me, what is a small business? Does anybody on our panel know what a small business is? A small business is a commercial a grouping. It's a company that has less than 500 workers. 500. So if you have 477 employees, you're in a small business, and you qualify for everything that the government calls for. And the last thing, I want to throw it to Mark by saying this. Mark, I wouldn't trust the government to mail me. I mean, they can't deliver the mail. They can't collect taxes. They can't educate our children. They can't do Social Security without stealing all the money out of it. They, you know, listen, there's only one word for Washington, D.C. If you work in Washington, D.C., whether you're related to me or not, if you are employed by the government in Washington, D.C., you are a boob. You qualify as a boob. You are a boob now. And no matter what you come up and invent, the government can't do it. You are inept. You are incapable. And you are a boob. So...
You know,
go from there, Mark.
I want to just say this before we go to Mark. Many, many people told me the same thing that you said, Larkin, earlier. Our message is now more important than ever. And they listened very closely to the debates. They listened very closely to the remarks. And they complimented Trump for promoting America first and jobs. They also complimented Joe Biden for saying he's going to really focus on making things in America, buying things in America. We have to hold everyone's feet to the fire, no matter who is the person inaugurated on January the 20th. Mark, I would have liked to see more of all politicians, state politicians, local politicians, the presidential candidates, all give us their step-by-step plan as what they're going to do to restore American jobs and industries. They didn't do that. Very unfortunate that they didn't do it. How did you find the election, Mark?
Well, first, Mike, I want to say what a refreshing show, and that's what we do, right, as business owners and people that work hard. We do a few extra push-ups, lift a heavier beer, Larkin. You know, we get ready for the fight for the raised taxes and how hard it's going to be, but we don't cry. We get back to work. But first, I want to say, you know, this is Veterans Day. You know, hats off to our heroes, those that serve, the brave men and women that give us our freedoms and our rights, that sign on the dotted line their life. Because that's what we're all about, our brand, too, is our veterans, those, you know, that are alive, that serve our country. And today's a big day. We celebrate every day with the Made America Serve Home Base for Honor Flight, Ricky Lee sings music for our vets around the country. So hats off, all our veterans out there, listeners. That's number one. You know, that's who gives us our freedom. Our brand stands for country, soldier, American worker, God above, and our children's future. And, you know, you guys were refreshing today. Larkin, you nailed it. Made in America has never been so important, never been so big. I had one of the producers of the movie call me, and, you know, we've seen it at our stores Saturday. People, you know, our types, I'm so glad there's 50% of us left. You know, I love to see the half of the country, you know, that really believe and support our brand. We've seen people coming in. One guy came from Bradford, PA, brought $1,200 Saturday just in goods, him and his wife. We had a bachelorette party come from Rochester, wanted to celebrate it at the Made America Store Saturday. Seen all kinds of different things turning and coming. Buying American's never been so important. Larkin, you're right. Biden has a big plan, $500 billion or whatever. But what Trump did was he stood up to China. And, you know, I don't know if anybody will have the balls to do it. Trump, one of the tougher guys I've ever known, worked 12 hours a day like a businessman does. I know Biden isn't going to work that hard, so I don't think we'll ever get a harder working American than Donald Trump in these times. I just don't. You know, that's just the truth. He's a businessman. He works very hard and every day for no pay, a lot like businessmen. You know, so a lot going on, Mike. We see the movement. People, you know, they have to support the Made in America movement because that's how we said vote with their dollar, get involved, do your part, because otherwise, you know, you're voting these big money, these high-tech, everybody, even family, friends that have the big portfolios, they want China open back up because they're selfish.
Selfish,
they don't care about
the word.
Their country. They don't care about their country. They're about their portfolio. They don't care about their children's future. So you got to buy Made in America because you go out, you support everything we believe in. And that's why Made in America is so important. Pennsylvania lost. I call Ricky Lee. I call other people. They want to move to Tennessee. They're so frustrated. The people that do fracking for a living, that work in oil, you know, reclaim it. What are they going to do with their livelihoods? I mean, they're so upset. And you look at little Philadelphia, little town of Allegheny, which at Larkin they can't understand. You know, when you look at the whole state red and all the farmers and workers and you know, it's decided in these small counties, something's different there. A lot of people I talk to in PA, and they really, a few are seriously moving. You know, and you don't know where the next state might be, Texas or Tennessee. But so a lot going on there. Shutdowns in New York. Our governor came up with a new plan, so they turned us yellow Monday, which takes our restaurants that are down on all fours, kicked in the groin, kicked in the teeth, and now they kicked them in the ribs. So you can only have four at a table as of this past Monday. They're going to close doctor offices and schools next week. I don't know, Larkin, if you could make it harder on an entrepreneur. You know, but my buddy that owns Mikey D's restaurant, he's still giving veterans free lunches and meals today. That's who we are.
That's right.
He's got the worst time of our life. He's given free meals to those who gave us our freedoms, for which trust in our election system, which the trust is lost. If they don't run this through the courts the proper way and build trust, our evil, selfish government and media, if you don't know that, you're dumb. That's where we are, you know, if you really want to listen to what they're selling you every day. But, you know, you've got to get this straightened out. I want trust. I want to trust our media. I want to trust our government. If you don't see where the money is now, we've got some situations. I'm like Larkin. We'll respect our president always. But, and who's ever in office. But we need, people need to wake up how businesses run, what they're about, who they work for. It's like Ford. You're working at Ford and they're driving a Toyota. That's an FU to your company. That's dumb.
Well said.
You know, Mark,
another,
there's a lot of things here.
Another thing that's very frustrating is these people, today we're marking Veterans Day, and these people go and they serve 4 years, 6 years, whatever they sign up for. Then they come back, and the company where they worked before they went in is no longer there. And the company that was employing them in the past is now doing business with China or other countries. This has got to stop. It's
ridiculous.
So, Mike,
our veterans, I don't give the day off, but I pay them double today. You know, I pay them double. I take, if they want a day off, I'd give them to it. You know, but we as General Welding and Fabricating, our oil industry is jeopardized. You know, we've lost it. Derek Manufacturing, my number one customer. They weren't going to get oil work till next fourth quarter anyhow, but now, who knows the future? Northrop Grumman, number one customer. Funds are pulled, $90 billion in our project, Joint Threat Emitter System. So, personally, boy, did I take a hit. But made in America, we're going to push as hard as we can. That's what we do. We come up with plans for both administrations, see how this winds up, but we go to work.
Yes, you're right. Mark, you are an unbelievable man. I don't know how you've gone through it these last 10 years. You've been more of a soldier than most of the soldiers.
Living the dream is a lot of work, Mike.
Unbelievable.
And saving the country is a lot of work, too, but it's worth it.
I am hoping that this whole presidential thing will be resolved and that we'll have more and more of our American people, especially the people who agreed with the Made in America movement more than anybody. And those were the people that voted for Trump because he was pushing American made. I believe a lot of people told me they voted for him specifically for that. They were glad that there were tariffs on things coming from overseas because a lot of the American stuff, not that much that is sent over there because we're not making that much at this point, is under the value-added tax. So they're tariffing our stuff, but we weren't tariffing their stuff coming to America for all these years. There's a lot of things that were done in the last few years that have to be complemented, things that would not have been done strictly by politicians. But a businessman saw it differently. And I hope that those things continue. We have to continue to take off those regulations. And by the way, as I said many, many times on various broadcasts, people say, oh, the pollution. And I say, please, don't tell me about pollution. Pollution, the world is round. The pollution travels around the globe. If that pollution is coming from China and they're not being checked, and that stuff is, it's coming to America. It's hurting us. It's hurting our buildings, the acid rain and all. Don't give me this stuff. We have to find ways to do things better. Stopping fracking or whatever, it doesn't make sense. We all have to sit down and see the real facts and figures of what all this is going to happen.
If Michael,
any of those changes were taking place. Yes.
It is appropriate. To talk about our Constitution while we recognize and honor our veterans because they risk their lives to uphold and affirm that contract. That's a contract that nations far older than we have used Larkin to model their own country's Constitution. And constitutionally, Michael, there will be a resolution to the election. It's built in. The framers didn't really leave anything to chant, Mark. Now, they may not have stated what they think someone should or should not do, or state should or should not do. That's where they, you know, it was a document of self-governance, and then basically said, you people go and figure it out. But in the matter of electing a president, which is an entire separate electoral matter in our country, different from House and Senate and state elections, it's its own entity. It will resolve itself, Michael. Constitutionally, it's built in with provisions and guidance on how to get it resolved. Now, when it's resolved, half the country will be happy with the resolution, and the other half won't be, Larkin, which sounds like every election.
And that's why we have to let it take its course at this point.
Right.
It really has
that's
to.
Right.
We can't discuss it. It has to be done by the professionals. Our goal, Mike, is to get people back on the job, get our factories, not only when I say industries, it doesn't only mean people standing on a production line. Everything is an industry in America, whether it's the food industry, whether it's the travel industry, no matter what it is, it's all industries. We need them to be 100% operational here. And again, at least supplying no less than 50% of everything we touch in a store. We can say, oh, that's made in America. Do I take this product or that product? Do I support my countrymen working, or do I support whatever else is available? The fact that we're celebrating November as American Made Month, I'm asking everybody to check out and see what we have on our internet site. Do check out. We have some things we're asking people to do. You can email the link to family and friends. Let people know that there are people out there working very hard. And I'd like to compliment, by the way, some of the radio broadcasters, and we have a good number of them that are promoting my Saturday commentary during their regular shows, during their public service time. They're promoting November as American Made Month. They're not people sitting on cable stations fighting and battling, this one's no good, that one's no good. They are trying to promote America and American workers. They're not asking people to do anything wrong. They're asking people to do things that are correct so that we can improve our future. We already saw, by the way, what people in Washington can do when they step away from looking out for the people. They looked out for themselves, petty political politics, battling each other over idioticness, agreeing to things that none of us on this broadcast and none of the people in our audience would want, like trade deals where somebody else benefits at the expense of our country, our communities, our states. No, but these people were sent there. They don't have a mandate when they go there. Most of the political people go based upon their personality. Very few tell us day by day, step by step plan that they're going to do while in office. It's that this one was no good, that one was no good, but they don't tell us what they're going to do to make something better. And that's the whole problem in the United States. Yes, Mark.
I'd like to bring up to the supply chain shortage. I've been having, you know, I got the other radio show, I've been having people on the aluminum shortage, unbelievable, for everything from bottle caps. Aluminum, if you're bottling a sauce or a hot sauce or barbecue sauce, a shortage. I can't get 2-inch plate. It's affecting me for our military projects. It's affecting everyone. The aluminum, Larkin, you brought it up a while ago, but it's here. But the supply shortage that's up, the fallout from the COVID-19 crisis, whatever administration, and if the new administration payback's a bitch for all the stuff that's happened they've got to deal with now, we've got some major issues coming up that people have got to deal with. And a lot of people this week, is it worth it, Mark? You know, I've always heard it. Is it worth it? Is it worth it even they fight, you know, make sure our election systems can be trusted? Is it worth it? My answer is yes. I mean, we're on Veterans Day. There's people that died for our freedoms. That flag that flies stands for them, people that put their life on the line, lost their lives. Fly a flag, fly two flags, wrap yourself in a flag, wrap your house in a flag. America needs you now. Americans are what run this country, and now's the time to stand up. Americans got to step forward. Donald Trump opened up a lot of stuff, exposed a lot of stuff for us. We got to take it from there.
Yeah, he will go down in the history books for all time. 100 years from now, people will talk that there was a campaign in this country to get our jobs back, to focus on American workers. You said the right thing, Mark. How can we be short of aluminum and everything else? Well, we've been sending all of our tin cans and everything else over to China. We have container ship after container ship going over with all of our... It's amazing. So they control so much. They bought so many industries in the United States that they silently can do whatever they want. And it was done with the permission of the people in Washington, who said, oh, well, you know, business is business. Somebody will be employed. But if it's not American workers...
And if we give up our position on oil, you're going to pay $4 to $5 a gallon in fuel pretty
absolutely.
Soon.
You know, guys, today is Veterans Day. And I'd like to once again pause to salute our veterans. And I'd like to even close off today our broadcast by saluting them with America the Beautiful. Mark, Larkin, Rich, Henry, all of you listening, please do spread the word. God bless all of you. And may God bless America. Sit back, relax, and enjoy our salute to America's veterans.
Thank you, guys. Buy American. It's very important.